Well, thanks for the Lord's work happening there, Sandy, and Mike inviting Sandy. Appreciate that. And the songs to the Lord today. One Bible teacher said that the scripture, if you took it as a whole, would be a story of God giving a relationship, man breaking the relationship, and then God giving the relationship again. And that's a pretty accurate picture of scripture. And God gives his life on behalf of all of us who have broken the relationship with him. Another way of seeing that is God gives a covenant, man breaks the covenant, and God gives the covenant again. And if you were to look in a Bible dictionary as to the word covenant, you would see that it says God's commitment to reconcile sinners to himself. So if you're in life and you say, boy, this part of my life went wrong with these group of people, or even my own self, I feel out of connection with, and certainly with the Lord, God would come and reestablish that, and he would do that centered around his son and around the cross. So there's a great hope for you and I in the very delicate and difficult areas of relationship with others, and obviously the one, our relationship with God. And today I just wanted to concentrate briefly on how the Lord can make our relationships new by looking at some of the things that went on at that first Last Supper. One way the Lord can make our relationships new is to realize that every conversation we have with people is really a three-way conversation between you, between the other person, and with God being in on that. And that was happening around the table at the Last Supper. Jesus was sharing some very emotional and dramatic things to his followers. He said, I eagerly desire to eat this meal with you before I suffer. So he was sharing the pain of his life. One of the topics that came up was betrayal. You know, and that's something we face in our own soul. One of the topics we face is the running away of all the disciples from the Lord shortly after the Last Supper. All of us in the room, wouldn't that be a terrible thing? 3 hours after our communion time, we would just say, that's it. I'm done with Jesus. I don't know him. I don't want to have anything to do with him. That's pretty much what happened shortly after the Last Supper. And yet the Lord at that Last Supper extended his love to those disciples. So it was a chance for them to see something about their own soul they needed to see. Notice the weaknesses in their fellow believers. Maybe have a thought of sympathy toward them. And also see something about the Lord that they never saw before. So when you have conversation with people, and when you meet with the Lord at his table, ask God to show you something about himself. For example, Peter, if you'd asked him before the supper, Peter, how is it between you and the Lord? He would say, hey, I'm a strong Christian. Because I just said, a little while back, if everybody runs away, I'll be the last guy standing. But he would come to find out a couple hours later after the Last Supper, he wasn't able to do that. We need God's strength to touch us in the conversations we have with others and how he's speaking to us. So one way he changes us is to see that three-way relationship that is occurring. The second way he could change us is by giving us a single mind for Christ and for others when we are speaking to people. A very helpful book was recommended to the district pastors called Fierce Conversations. And in it, the author, Susan Scott, says, one of the keys in life is being 100% present to other people when you're with them. And I don't know about you, but I'm constantly thinking about what's going to happen next. Or if I'm at home, my son's trying to tell me something, and I say, can you wait till this plays over on the basketball game or something like that? Always preoccupied with something else instead of being fully present to who God is or who other people are. Supposedly, even a preacher, when they're preaching, needs to be fully present to the people they're speaking to. Otherwise, I'll just read my good notes and, hope the ones with endurance don't fall asleep. But It's what God is for us, and Jesus was for those disciples at that table. Even when, as they went around and said, could I be the one who's going to walk away from God? No, it wouldn't be me. And the answer would be, boy, it would be all of them, because they all fled. They would know, however, that Christ was fully present to them even after their fleeing of him, as he would call them back to himself. The being fully present to another is illustrated in an African tribe that says when they see one another, they have a certain way of greeting. Instead of saying hello or how you doing, they look at each other and say, I see you. Okay. I see you, Bob Gray. I see you, Reverend Murphy. I see you, Bill. I see you, Norma. And by doing that, they're saying, hey, my whole being or my whole attention is open to yourself. You know, that way of reaching out in love. And the person who responds by saying this, here I am. You know, Reverend Murphy says, here I am. Bill Norma, here I am. You know, that happened a lot of time in Scripture when there was important communication happening between God and people. As God would say to Samuel, 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 I see you, Samuel. Here I am. Took him a while, but he responded. And after rising from the dead, Jesus turning to Mary, I mean, she thought, here's the gardener over here and the empty tomb. And Jesus says, Mary, I see you, Mary. Mary says, teacher. Could you hear Jesus calling your voice if you're fully open to him? Be fully present to him like he's fully present to you. And probably be, as you're fully present to another, you're going to meet the Lord in that conversation. So ask the Lord for openness like that. And the third way the Lord could change our relationship with him is to give us really another other people God-centered focus in relationships. That's really hard because that fights against our self-centeredness. Those disciples were fighting that even at the Last Supper. They fought it about who was going to wash whose feet. They said, forget that. And they fought it when it came to who was going to run away from Christ instead of dropping him like a hot potato. They were dealing with those things in their soul. And yet, the Lord was there on their behalf. We were relieved, and maybe hopefully prayerful as a nation, when a couple weeks ago the Navy SEALs defeated an enemy of ours. And so they did their work well. And in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article about what makes a Navy SEAL function so well. Talked about the 6 months of training that they go through. Toughest training, you know, of any career. By contrast, the Steelers have a 3 week training camp, and you got the tough football players just saying, "Oh, I can't wait till this is over. 3 weeks. I don't know if I can make it." These guys go through 6 months, intense training. And the article written by an ex Navy SEAL said it wasn't the guys who were the strongest, fastest, even most intelligent or best aims who ended up making it as Navy SEALs. Only about 10 or 20% make it. He said the one common quality, and this is a shocker and good news, said the one common quality that a Navy SEAL has who really makes it is that they have a mentality that says this: how can I help the other guy? That's it. That's what's the common characteristic in all the SEALs who make the training and end up serving the country in that dramatic way. How can I help the other guy? You know, that was Jesus' mentality at that table. He's headed to the cross. And those guys don't even understand what the Last Supper is all about when he says, here's the bread, this is my body. Thinking, you know, sure, we'll just go along with you, Jesus. Or here's the cup, this is my blood. What blood? I don't see, there's no cross yet. What's he talking about? But Jesus, nevertheless, for them. You might be here today and say, I don't even understand communion. Jesus said, you know what? You don't have to understand it to trust me. Here's the bread that says, I love you. Here's the cup that says, my life will be for the forgiveness of your sins. You just receive what I'm coming to bring you, and God will help you. So might we have our relationships changed in that openness that Christ had toward his followers, and we could have to him and to each other. I wanted to pray and ask us to be close to the Lord as we come to his table. A couple people having surgery this week. Bernie Murphy, Caroline Tins. A couple people need God's mercy in decision making that will help them. That will be made around them. We want God to really come through for them. Let's pray together.